Hello and welcome to OU's Nach Yomi. You can find this year posted at ouradio.org/nach or on my website, ericlevy.com, under the recording section.
Hi, this is Rabbi Eric Levy, and I am pleased to bring to you Psalm 57, Tehillah Nun Zayin. Psalm 57 continues the group of psalms called Michtams, and also starts a new, smaller subgroup of psalms labeled Al Tashchet. Lam Natseach Al Tashchet LeDavid Michtam. Al Tashchet may be a musical instrument or a musical arrangement, or it may indicate the theme of the psalm, literally Al Tashchet, don't destroy, perhaps indicating that the psalm was written to or said in order to avoid or prevent destruction. It is certainly a personal lament which cries out to help from troubled times. Psalm 57 is also connected with a series of psalms whose inscription ties it to an historical event of David's pre-kingship as he flees from various enemies, especially King Shaul, Saul, who he is destined to supplant. Bivarcho mipnei Shaul bame'ara. Here, the cave, the scenario is that David's flight from Saul into a cave is probably referring to chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, which follows David's escape from Gat, which he managed to do by pretending to be insane. That event was the background story of the previous psalm. And as I said in my lesson to that psalm, the tone and theme of that psalm, Psalm 56, does indeed seem to be tied to that backstory. Following David's escape from the Philistines, he sets up shop in the deserts of southern Judah, specifically in the place called Adullam, and puts together a ragtag army. While the text doesn't say so, apparently this caused pressure to be brought on him from Shaul, no doubt, because in the next scene we see that he has to run away to Moab, which is across the Jordan River, in order to take refuge. This psalm is placed during those times when he was still in the cave of Adullam, after Gat, but before he runs to Moab. However, unlike my opinion of our last psalm, our Psalm 57 seems much more universal. So while it may be inspired from the events of Adullam, we need not say that they describe specifically that it's a historical psalm describing the events in Adullam, as much as they describe the feelings and abstract problems that one experiences in those circumstances. Choneni Elohim, choneni ki v'cha chasaya nafshi, uvitzel kenafecha echseh ad yavor havot. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, because I have taken refuge in you, and because I will continue to take refuge in the under the shadow or in the shadow of your wings until disaster passes. A few psalms ago, I translated Divrei Havot as words of falsehoods, but I think the sense here is until disaster passes, although in many cases Divrei Havot indicates the type of words which are lies or deceit which brings about disaster. So our psalm, an individual lament, opens up with a standard invocation of God, Elohim, and then a generic petition for mercy. But note the double use of have mercy, choneni, choneni, which is found in psalms from time to time and is obviously used for emphasis. Note also the double use of the word chasa, to take shelter, first in the past tense, chasaya, and then in the future tense, which creates a sense of I have always been and I will always take shelter in you. A statement of great confidence and a statement of great loyalty towards God. The reason why the author says he wants to have mercy is the reason why he's justifying that God should give him mercy is because of this past and future loyalty which he has for God. And in the next verse, he continues to assert his loyalty to God and to justify his deserving mercy. Ekra l'Elohim Elyon la'el gomer alai. I will call to the Lord, the one on high, to God who takes care of things for me, literally who finishes things up for me. The phrase La'el gomer alai is a little unusual, but the sense is certainly positive. Yishlach mishamayim v'yoshieni cheref shoafi sela, yishlach Elohim chasdo v'amito. He will send from the heavens to save me from the blaspheming of those who search out to get me, sela, God will send his kindness and his reliability. You can really feel the fact that this psalm and the last one were written by the same hand and near the same time. Note the use of the word sho'eif for what enemies do, which is an unusual term, as in the last psalm. And note the word selah here is right in the middle of a verse, which is unusual, as it was in the last psalm. So while the psalmist makes small references to his enemies here, the cheref sho'afi, it's really not about the enemies. It's really about how the psalmist is sure that Yishlach Mishamayim V'yoshieni, that God will send aid from the heavens to help him. Nafshi b'toch livaim eshkiva lohatim b'nei adam shinehem chenit v'chitim ulshonam cherev chada. Here we do in fact turn towards the enemies. But there's a twist. Let me lay down myself among young lions, levaim, from the word lavi, among corrosive human beings, the word lohate means to burn, whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp words. Now, I think it's a mistake here to historicize and say that he's referring to Shaul's army or some other evil which caused him to have to run away to Moab. In truth, it's just a description of this universal enemy. And again, it's not so much about the enemy as it is about his own confidence that he could lie down in a lion's den, so to speak, as the famous Daniel the prophet would do many years later, and come out just fine. Which is why I translated Eshkiva as it appears in the request form, let me lie down. That is, Eshkav is I will lie down, and Eshkiva is let me lie down. Now, in poetry, sometimes Eshkaval will show up and not mean let me lie down. But here I think that's the sense, which means he's not just saying I am surrounded by lions, which I'm sure he is, otherwise he wouldn't be singing the psalm. He's saying, let me lie down among the lions. Put me in the lion's den. I have no problem because I will be perfectly fine. The next sentence, in fact, forgets the enemy altogether. Preferring to focus on God's greatness, more proof of the psalmist's belief that God is the only answer, that is his faith in God for resolution. Ruma al Hashamayim Elohim al Kol Haaretz Kivodecha. Raise yourself over the heavens, O God. Raise your glory over the whole world. This request that God exalt himself over the heavens and the earth is the kind of confidence and dedication to the all-powerful and all-controlling God which is at the heart of the psalm, which explains why this line is a refrain. It's a chorus which will be repeated again at the very end of the psalm. And while we return next to complaint against the enemies, it is only for one verse. Reshet hechinu lif'amai kafaf nafshi karu lifanai shicha naflu v'tocha sela. They readied a trap for my steps. Myself is bent over. They dug a pit in front of me, but they fell into its cella. Again, the author can't stay focused on the enemy. As much as he returns again and again, as much as he always does, he returns again and again to confidence. Here, he talks about the trap the enemy has set for him, and yet he said he has no doubt that the enemy has surely, will surely fall into their own traps. And in fact, he puts it in the past tense, what I call the confidence tense, to say, you know what? They've already fallen into their own traps that they have set. The selah seems to end the section, which is much more about confidence and faith in God and loyalty to God than it is about any kind of complaints. So while this is a lament, it's barely a lament because the author is so confident. It's like he can't bring himself to be too upset and depressed. The psalmist goes so far to say now that he will write a song about his confidence and his loyalty. And where individual laments usually only dedicate one verse or so to this commitment to praise God, either with sacrifice or through a song of thanksgiving, here we have a whole sub-poem coming from now to the end of the psalm, which is about the dedication and the song that the psalmist will make to God. In fact, verses 8 through 12 are so positive that some scholars think that this whole psalm is really a thanksgiving over troubles which have already been resolved, rather than a lament over troubles that need to be resolved. Indeed, verses 8 to 12 make up, with some small changes, the first five lines of the glorious Psalm 108, including the refrain, Ruma, lift yourself on high, which we had and which we'll see on the last line of the psalm. The second half of the Psalm 108, by the way, is taken from Psalm 60, which we will examine in 3 days, God willing. But I don't agree to this approach. I think the troubles are at hand. And this is without question an individual lament. But you know what? Sometimes even though you're in trouble, the confidence is so overwhelming that the psalmist can revel in a Thanksgiving song that he has yet to write and that he promises to write when he has the opportunity to write and sing it. Nachon libi Elohim, nachon libi, ashira va'azamera. My heart is firm, O God, my heart is firm. Let me sing and let me chant a psalm. Note the double nachon libi, creating the emphasis, just like we had on choneni, choneni, have mercy on me above. So the plea for have mercy has changed into my heart is completely firm. I am completely confident. It's a confidence based on the assertion of the loyalty to God. Personifying his instrument, he sings to it, Ura Chvodi, Ura Hanevel V'chinor, Aira Shachar, wake up, my honor, wake up, O you lyre, and you lyre, L-Y-R-E, the instrument, wake up, you harp. Let me wake up the dawn. Odecha ba'amim, Adonai, azamercha ba'lumim. I will praise you amongst the nations, O Lord. I will sing of you amongst the peoples. Ki gadol ad shamayim chastecha v'ad shechakim amitecha. What will I sing? I will sing that your faithfulness is large, is great, reaching up to the heavens, and that your loyalty and that your reliability are large or great, reaching to the very skies. Finally, Ruma al Shamayim Elohim al Kol Haaretz Kivodecha. We return to the refrain, a refrain of both confidence and a refrain indicating the author's loyalty to the greatness of God. Raise yourself over the heavens, O God. Raise your honor, your glory over the whole world. So it might be tempting to historicize this psalm. And it would be reasonable to say that even though Shaul was out to kill him while David was hiding in the cave of Adullam, his fear of being afraid is replaced by confidence in God, because he's managing to pull together all these ragtag fighters and outlaws and actually make a disciplined army. But the truth is that this prayer is universal. It affirms one's faith and loyalty in God, and it is that faith and loyalty in God where one can help soothe his own spirit in times of trouble. It's a faith and loyalty in God that causes a person who exists in darkness to see a lot of light at the end of the tunnel.